Welcome back to the Suraj Podcast. In the last episode, we heard how the Minister of Bhim Chand returned home. He told the king the news that he didn't bring back the elephant, and we heard how pissed off that made the ruler. And at that point, he assembles a small group of his inner circle to figure out how to get Guru Gobind Singh's Prasad the elephant. The last chapter ended with the senior minister of Bhim Chand telling him not to mess with the Guru's house, and that they should not be deceitful or confrontational in any way. The chapter ended describing how that when the Guru turns somebody away from him, as the Guru did with Bhim Chand, then nobody has the ability to turn that person back towards the Guru. So chapter 34 now begins with a response from Bhim Chand to that minister saying, "Minister, listen, what are you saying? You've lowered my glory. And that person who has increased strife with us, how should we walk towards them, go towards them now? We also perform devotional worship of Thakur, the worship of idols, offering to them daily. The leadership of the Punjab hills, the region here, all of us worship idols. We are of the lineage of the Rajputs, the elite. We always remain as servants to the idols. If we forsake them now, if we head towards the body of just a man, standing in front of them performing a supplication and ardas, this isn't behooving of us. And I'll also explain something else to you. Out of all the hill rulers here, there's not one of them who is a Sikh. No one goes near the Guru. They all follow the path of our elders. They all worship idols. How could I now leave behind my own ideology? How could I turn in that direction and become a Sikh of the Guru? The other hill rulers, they will all laugh at me. They'll say, in order to get the elephant, he became a Sikh. Perhaps when all the rulers get together, those rulers who are firm in their own thadam, they will criticize me, and they'll say, in the thirst, in the greed of an elephant, he went and became a Sikh of the Guru. This is how people will speak of me in the future. They'll think of disgrace my lineage. I'm not going to take your advice and become a coward. If you are telling me that the Guru is a master of miracles, I've not accepted this. I've not understood this in my own interaction with them. Look, the elder Guru, Guru Tegh Bahadur, he was imprisoned in Delhi. The master of the Turks, Aurangzeb, didn't let him go, and he kept him there, disrespecting him greatly. I've heard the story of what happened there fully. He didn't perform any miracles. He endured all of that inappropriate conduct that occurred there. And the hands or the feet of the emperor, they weren't hurt at all. They weren't broken in the slightest. Or he didn't hurt the empire, the kingdom in any way. Only those of lower castes. Those people don't even know anything. They get together in thousands and they head towards the Guru. They clasp their hands together in front of them, calling the Guru an avatar, the incarnation of the divine, the immortal. They bring their pennies and dollars, offering it to them. The Guru says falsely that they'll bestow and fulfill their desires. These idiots, the Juts, the farmers, the Barney, these lower castes who are traders. Gee, what is a fisherman? All of these castes like that. How can I name them all? They all get together and say, Guru, Guru. They don't understand the greatness in idol worship. We are the Rajputs, the great wise ones. We listen with great absorption to the stories from the Puranas. The renunciates, the Bairagis, the Sannyasi Sadhus, the holy men who wear colored fabric, finding the path of the divine, the yogis, the celibates who have their ears torn with earrings. For us, it's acceptable to be worshipping them, giving them respect. But the Guru, who is a householder, who is married, he's just like us. Rather, we are even of a superior caste than him, being Rajput. How would we go now and take their initiation, Bahul ceremony, becoming a Sikh? In my mind, faith, belief in the Guru hasn't sprouted up. In my mind, there are so many downsides to becoming a Sikh. Think about it in your own mind. With the support of our army, our arms will request the elephant. Otherwise, if they don't give it up, we'll kick them out of Anandpur. They have lost their connection with the Mughal power. And if they fight here, then there will be a massive battle. Where will they go then? They won't find a spot to reside. Only then they'll recognize us when they realize this. Listen, you guys are all wise. Think about it properly. Where will he go live then? He is arrogant over his position of guru, and he's so young. Sitting amongst so many people, he tells them to worship him. That's why he didn't accept our requests. He doesn't know. When he has the weight of ours over his neck, then he'll realize. If he now gives the prasad the elephant, then we'll allow him to stay in this region, in all the comfort, in all the bliss. So, oh police officer, the Kotwal, please go now and head towards the exalted true guru in Anandpur. Just like we've said all this, explain to him, request and show him, and then at the same time show our great strength. The desire of the king is that you give the elephant. Tell this to him. Tell him to have good relations with the king, to keep this good friendship between us. Otherwise, if not, tell the guru that do not let opposition or conflict come between us. Enjoy yourself here. Tell him to become humble, but supplicate to him that he should give over the elephant. Otherwise, tell him of the great strength and power of my army and resources. Tell him that I'm the ruler of the 22 local rulers here in the hills. They all live under my rule in accordance to my will. If need be, I'll bring all of their armies to help me in my efforts. Hearing these words of Bhim Chand, the minister lowered his eyes. And the rest of the ministers and courtiers, they all respected Bhim Chand, saying, "Oh, great king, you are so wise. The guru has come to your region. He's always roaming and enjoying hunting in this region. He receives the money, the offerings from all corners of the world. So many different types of offerings he receives. So what if you have just requested just one elephant? He should give it to you. The guru should contemplate on this. It's just such a small item. He's creating conflict over this. If anybody hears this, they'll realize it's not great for him to be doing this." The senior police officer, when he heard the request from the king, he clasped his hands together and said, "The elephant which you desire, I will bring back." He bowed his head to Bhim Chand. He walked out through the door with his thoughts of traveling to Anandpur. He requested his horse. He mounted up and set off. And slowly he traveled the entire path. He arrived there in Anandpur and he saw great bliss there. Wherever he went, he saw people roaming around, contemplating, remembering the guru. He dismounted, he set up his encampment, he refreshed himself at that time, washing his hands and feet and putting on some exquisite, you know, very subtle clothing over his body. When the guru had commenced his court session, hearing this, the police officer then set off towards the darbar, the court. He arrived at the gate of the guru and he told the gatekeepers about himself, saying, "Please announce my arrival inside." The gatekeepers, the guards, then quickly went in, requested in front of the compassionate, the gracious guru, saying, "Oh Prabhu, oh divine, the hill ruler's police officer is here. He desires your divine sight, your darshan, greatly." The guru commanded, "Allow him in." The officer then arrived inside and he headed towards the guru. He brought gifts, offering them to the feet of the guru. While clasping his hands, he bowed down. Receiving the permission of the guru, he then sat down. And he saluted the guru on behalf of the hill ruler as well. The plume-wearing guru then said, "Tell me, why has the king sent you here?" The guru knew this, that the ruler was all cocky and arrogant, cold-hearted, and adorning such deceitful and corrupt ways. The officer heard this, and then he said from his mouth, "The king has sent a humble request in front of you. The king is really honest in wishing you the best. So day and night he recites your praises. Understanding your lotus-like feet as pure, in his heart he desires close friendship with you. Now, such a task has arisen, as explained by the minister that was sent before. The family will now arrive for the engagement of Bhim Chand's son. The king Bhim Chand wants to show them some rare and wonderful items. There's really nothing like the guru's house," he said this over and over again when sending me here. "For you as well, it makes sense it is appropriate for you to act in this manner, such that friendship between you and the king remains intact. Out of all the other 22 rulers here, Bhim Chand is the ruler of them all. They all are under his command. There's no other hill ruler that can match him. By all means and measures, he's the top. And for you to keep this friendship, to have good relations with him, is really important. You should fulfill all of their desires. It'll be great if there are good relations on both sides. so that all our enemies will remain afraid of us. We'll have unity. Together, many tasks will arise, and we'll face them together. And if taken together, they'll quickly be taken care of. This is all in your hands. Either keeping good relationships, keeping good friendship with us, or desiring conflict. This isn't anything big or extraordinary. To give and ask for things, these things always happen. Beam, Jund is a great ruler of the Hail region. He will help you greatly, as well with any other tasks. He has a vast army. This entire region is under his command. He has such grand glory and an endless treasury, no one can disagree with anything he commands or proclaims. You both live right near each other, and in friendship and good relations, we'll all live in such happiness and comfort. And for this reason, I was sent here to now give you this message. This is how chapter 34 concludes. In the next chapter, we're going to hear more of this conversation between the guru and the officer, and that's where we're going to pick up next time. But as always, I'd like to thank those who have been supporting the podcast through the Mangala Charan Patreon page.
ਜਿਹੜਾ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਆਉਣਗੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਜਗਾਉਣਗੇ ਜਗਾਰੇ ਗੱਜ ਕੇ ਜਗਾਇਆ ਜਾਵੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋ ਜਾਵੇ।